my career has inadvertently taken a path to help small businesses grow in particular, or really emerging brands grow. I now call this Robinhooding, because what I've learned about myself is what I absolutely love to do is to figure out what brands that have budget, bandwidth, and expertise, figure out what they do, and then find ways to productize that and offer it for much less expensively than those big brands do to everyone else that wants to aspire to be a big brand themselves. And I am exceptionally lucky to have found Klaviyo at this point in my career and at this point in its journey to help bring that to so many businesses. I mean, we serve over 42,000 brands around the world, which is awesome to wake up every day and know that you can help them grow too.
Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 101.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by the team at Rewind. You know something? Accidents can happen, and it can have a major financial impact on your business. What happens if you install an app and it messes up your theme, or you upload a product catalog with errors, or even worse, a store collaborator deletes product images by mistake? The common myth is that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong with your store. Untrue. Myth busted. Shopify has no native backups. So what do? You use Rewind to protect your store with automated backups. Rewind should be the first app you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or collaborators gone bad. It's like having your very own magic undo button. The Rewind app is trusted by over 30,000 businesses, from side hustlers to the biggest online retailers like Gatorade or Movement Watches. And best of all, respond to any of their welcome emails and mention the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast, and you'll get your first month of backups absolutely free. Protect your business, get peace of mind with Rewind Backups. Download the app today from the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.io. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest on today's episode is Jake Cohen, and he is the head of product marketing for Klaviyo. And they're a great marketing platform, a truly great partner for Shopify, and actually recently have become a Plus technology partner. And what they do, which is really awesome, is they actually use email, SMS, and sign-up forms. I'm sure other things we'll dig into in this show. They really are here to help Shopify brands make money literally on day one, and they're a partner to help you grow and scale. Really timely episode, middle of a pandemic right now. I know things are starting to open up, but this lifecycle marketing and just marketing automation in general are really hot topics. That is why Klaviyo is on today. So hi, Jake. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Excited to be here.
I mentioned a tiny bit at the top. A lot of people probably know who Klaviyo is, but I'd love to hear it in your own words. What sort of problem does the platform aim to solve for Shopify brands?
I have to give you credit. You did a pretty good job setting this up.
All right, fair enough.
But to just reiterate a couple of key sentiments, we truly are built to help e-commerce brands grow. We pride ourselves on having a platform that is really the only in the world where you can sort of launch a new business or a new product, and you can continue to use it to scale all the way up to being bigger than even, say, Kylie Cosmetics. Any of the sort of key customer experiences that you dream of by, again, any lifecycle stage or any specific part of the customer journey, you can execute on Klaviyo across email, SMS, dynamic web experiences like sign-up forms, and even making your Facebook advertising more efficient by using our segmentation to have better targeting. Insanely focused on helping e-commerce brands grow and continue growing as far as they possibly can and want to.
So tell me a bit about your journey leading up, I guess, to becoming head of product marketing. What would you say uniquely positions you and the founding team, I guess, to have the desire and the expertise to want to create this platform?
I'll tell a little bit about me and a little bit about our CEO. My secret, which I guess until today, no one really knew, is that my mother actually started an advertising agency when I was one, which was more years ago than I'm willing to say right now. And so she would take me on pitches, and I grew up in my house at the dinner table. My father ended up working for her. My parents were talking about how to acquire new customers for their clients, how to get new clients, how to keep their employees happy, what the right strategies are for getting the message out. Literally, it's 7 years old, what we talked about. And I thought that that was an entirely normal way of growing up. And I've only since learned that that's very bizarre and totally weird, but really useful when you're thinking about helping businesses grow. For me, my career has inadvertently taken a path to help small businesses grow, in particular, or really emerging brands grow. I now call this Robinhooding, because what I've learned about myself is what I absolutely love to do is to figure out what brands that have budget, bandwidth, and expertise, figure out what they do, and then find ways to productize that and offer it for much less expensively than those big brands do to everyone else that wants to aspire to be a big brand themselves. And I am exceptionally lucky to have found Klaviyo at this point in my career and at this point in its journey to help bring that to so many businesses. I mean, we serve over 42,000 brands around the world, which is awesome to wake up every day and know that you can help them grow too.
I love the reverse engineering. I think that's a really great mindset to have, because I think there's a lot of success out there. But I think the challenge is that a lot of people look at these larger brands, that, like you said, that have the bandwidth or the budget or just the human capital to be able to execute. I like what Klaviyo was doing as far as taking larger view of these bigger brands and saying, well, how can we scale it down and still let small to mid-sized players still execute on these strategies?
But not only execute, but afford it. How can we make it as cheap as possible for them to take advantage of the same strategy so that they can capture all the upside and grow? So what's interesting about our founding story, which I don't think everyone knows, I think similarly to Toby, our CEO, Andrew, or AB as we call him, was an engineer previously. And he worked at a consulting firm that crunched data for Fortune 50 B2C brands to help them segment and understand their customer bases better. And what he learned was these big brands would pay a lot of money to get the segmentation and understanding, and then they'd have to go get some other service to go execute on that understanding through marketing. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, this is crazy. It shouldn't cost so much to do this, and you should be able to take action on your insights. And that was the founding impetus that became Klaviyo.
Very cool. Let's dig into this pandemic, because we're in the midst of it right now. I know retail, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is starting to open up. But then you also hear some recent conversations that they're now going back to stage two and things are starting to close up again. It's just, so it's back and forth. But then there's certainly an upside to the e-commerce component, because people still have to shop. They still have to buy products and whatnot. So let's talk about what Klaviyo has been doing recently in the last 3 or 4 months to help brands during this pandemic. Are you able to share some details of any services or any platform updates that are helping these brands?
So we've done a ton to help brands during this pandemic. On March 17th, we surveyed a whole bunch of our customers, mutual customers, frankly, and said, hey, what could we do to be helpful for you right now? And the overwhelming response was, can you just tell us what's going on? And so we said, okay, let's figure that out. And so we started literally on March 17th, creating a survey and sharing the results among e-commerce owners on what they were seeing, what they were doing, and the problems that they were facing. And we published that every single day for the past 3 or 4 months. Wow. And we've added to that. So we now added a consumer survey to understand consumer sentiment as a leading indicator of what will happen to sales, even though it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. And we also recruited a senior data scientist on our team to mine the data that we have across, as I mentioned, 42,000 brands around the world to understand what categories are performing well, what is causing, you know, certain brands to spike, which specific products are selling well, what categories are doing well, and compared it to last year so that brands can give themselves a comp to understand if their performance is in line with the rest of their category or exceptionally high or low.
So let's dig into some of that research then. So what has your data scientists? What's happening? Yeah, like what's going on? Like, I'd love to hear, I guess, the cliff notes on this.
Yeah. So first, for the audience, this is all published and publicly available. If you go to klaviyo.com, there's a section called resources in the nav bar. And under there, there's COVID-19 insights. And if you click on that, you can see all the charts that I'll be referencing, which get updated daily. What we've seen year over year is that sales is up well over 100% across all of Klaviyo customers. So our customers are exploding. Interestingly, my favorite graph to look at is how apparel and accessories has performed. Year over year, they were up about 20% from January to March as a category. From March 1st to March 15th, sales completely plummeted, where on March 15th, sales for 2020 were below the same day last year. Since then, apparel and accessories has rebounded spectacularly to be up about 89% and is now kind of flat from May 1st to today, consistently being up 80, 90% over last year.
Wow. That's interesting data. And I see that too. I manage quite a few brands in fashion and apparel and, you know, and some CPGs in the subscription side of the business. And I'm finding a lot of those brands had the exact same thing. One challenge I did find was some apparel companies, unfortunately, put a lot of their business in wholesale, selling to other retailers. And because of that, they obviously their sales went down dramatically because, you know, I had one brand specifically upwards of 30 million GMV. 80% of that was being sold to other retailers, which were closed. And so because of that, it forced them, and they're ironically a Klaviyo customer, but it forced them to become more nimble now and to think of, well, what are we going to do now with our B2C initiatives? How do we build community? How do we, instead of having all our eggs in the wholesale basket, how do we create our own experiences and our own brand and start relying on other people to build our business? And so they made that pivot. Lots of others made that pivot. Do you have any stories or things that you could share about, like, hey, instead of putting all your money in the wholesale basket, which is important for distribution, but then look what happens, how is Klaviyo, or any stories that you could tell that would maybe shed some light on why it's important today to build your brand?
Yes. I could spend days on this. Two quick stories that come to mind. One is a larger business that is in apparel and accessories. They're a sort of sportswear brand out of Ireland called Gym Plus Coffee. And what's interesting about them is they did a bunch of wholesale. They also had plans to open stores this year, and they had forecasted sales that they were going to hit. They're going to open 6 stores. Of course, that didn't happen. We had been publishing predictions and suggestions and strategies and tips on what people should do to thrive through this pandemic and prepare themselves for even more growth after. And they actually followed our recommendations almost to the letter of the law. And as a result, their sales today are ahead of their original forecast, and they never opened their stores. And so one of the interesting things that they did was they took their in-store employees and they actually trained them to become online associates, to be available via chat, and to work with people who are interested in getting help to navigate the product inventory that they had and make the right choices for that specific customer. It increased average order value when they ended up working with someone specifically, and it helped maintain the sense of community, which is incredibly important to this brand, demonstrating that when you connect with the brand, it's really a lifestyle connection that, oh, by the way, also has some great clothes that you'll enjoy wearing when you exercise or do whatever you do. So that's been, and we wrote up an article actually on how they've been doing that. And I'm proud of them. I'm excited for them. They're thrilled. Mm. It's like a wonderful, it's just a wonderful thing to be part of. The other interesting thing, so I have a very good friend who started a higher-end handbag company called Sesta. They're beautiful. And she sold primarily to wholesalers who obviously weren't open or buying. Mm, and right. It forced them to sort of do exactly what you explained, Stephen, really think about, what's our direct-to-consumer strategy? How are we going to sell directly? And in using Klaviyo and Facebook, frankly, they came up with some specific targeting around higher net worth zip codes and some specific consumers using our segmentation and connecting it to Facebook for custom audiences. And it allowed them to build a foundation where they were able to profitably acquire customers and sell their product. And while that may not have been as high as wholesale right away, it provided some sustainability and consistency that they can now maintain. They've tightened up their operations so that when they do get the opportunity to go back to wholesale, it's just that much more incremental. They're not relying on it as much. As instead, it's a big boost, which is a just different mindset, and it's going to allow for their brand to really, really continue to grow for the years to come.
Yeah, I love the story about Jim and Coffee, because I think the whole clienteling concept, where you're saying, hey, these potential retail sales associates, if they owned the customer, so to speak, because they were used to a personal one-on-one type relationship, I think it's very interesting of being able to say, hey, how can we maximize and build a personal relationship with customers and prospects, and sharing just the opportunity that, hey, retail is closed, or hey, we have curbside pickup now, or hey, we're going to do a pop-up over here. I think it's really interesting that that's the way things could be and how they're executing on it. The handbags, I'll make sure all of these links actually go in the show notes so we can give some shout outs to some of these brands and share what it is that they do. So we have all of this research, and we have brands that are, you know, unfortunately didn't have the wholesale opportunity available to them because retail was closed. So they've put some energy into their B2C and owning their brand more. And so what sort of things have happened, though, in the midst of COVID that you've seen based on some of this research?
We wrote an article in April predicting what would happen through the rest of the year. And so far, it has proven to be 100% accurate, which is insane. I'm sure it'll break at some point, but it's been good. The what we've been telling brands to really think about is to zoom out your perspective. This can be really difficult to do when you're in, you know, the daily hand-to-hand combat of growing a brand. But the appropriate way to develop a strategy is to zoom out and to take a timeline perspective that really looks through the end of 2020 at minimum. Right. And what you have to do is think about, strategically speaking, if I map my activity to a funnel, where in the funnel should I be investing my energy? And of course, this isn't a blanket recommendation. There's nuances based on your cash flow and your cash reserves and what your sell-through rates are and how new you are and all that kind of stuff. But from a higher sort of philosophical perspective, you have to think about the funnel. You have to think about the year. Some observations that we've made. In Q2, a vast majority of where consumers would normally spend money, stores, were closed. And as a result, we saw consumers go online to buy the things that they need. We've published a ton about this. You guys have seen it. We've seen it. E-commerce sales have exploded. But that's not going to go on forever because, of course, stores are going to open, and they have been opening. And we have been seeing a rebound in consumer spending and a sort of flattening of e-commerce spending. Because stores are opening and because they were closing Q2, retailers with stores need to advertise more to get people to be aware of the fact that they can now come into a store. And because their stores were closed in Q2, they really need to get sales back up to prove to investors and to Wall Street that they're going to get sales to come back. And so what you're going to see is because those stores were closed, they pulled out of the advertising market. It made for exceptionally efficient e-commerce advertised spends. So you were seeing ROAS. I was hearing ROAS is, you know, upwards of 10x, which is insane. And so it was a wonderful time to acquire customers. All of those stores as they open are going to come back. And what happens when advertisers come back is that demand goes up. And from our intro to macroeconomics that we took in college, we know that when demand goes up, price goes up. And so we're going to see advertising costs absolutely rise. They're starting to now. Right. Consumers are going to start going back to stores, and they're also going to change their mindset a little bit. Originally, when this hit, the mindset of consumers was, I have a new environment. I need to buy new things that will make me feel safe and comfortable at home, what we call new essentials. But now that we're starting to reopen, although we'll see how that goes in the next couple of weeks, consumers are reintroducing themselves in what I'm calling their own personal debutante. And so they're going to want to present the best version of themselves. So we're seeing an increase in sales in apparel and luxury and jewelry. We, interestingly, are seeing an increase in sales in eye makeup, but not as much on lip makeup. And same, we're seeing a lot of nail polish. There's an increase in sales. And so consumers are really thinking about, what are the things that I want to have for myself to sort of re-enter? And then all of this is going to have a really huge impact on the holiday season.
This is really timely information, because I think that's exactly what I've seen on my end. You're right. The ad costs were very favorable, and the ROAS was like incredible throughout COVID, just because traditional retail was gone. And so because of that, there was a lot of available inventory to be able to advertise. And things are starting to change now. And I think it's opening up people's minds about understanding what life cycle marketing is, these concepts that they may not have heard of or haven't executed on it. So I think there's been lots of learnings about life cycle, understanding active and at risk or churned customers and loyal customers, and trying to figure out how we market to those types of customers. And so that's been an interesting conversation that I've been having recently. And then so maybe we can dig into a little bit of that, because I know BFCM is right around the corner. I just pulled up something recently this morning. That's 140 some days before BFCM. I know it may sound odd, but really it's 4 months away, and people are concerned about a potential resurgence of COVID. They're worried about just the social distancing and not wanting to stand in line at a traditional retail location. And then just the throughput. Just think of Costco as an example. I mean, you know, they're still clicking people in and clicking people out. And there's, you know, the 6 foot distance between people. And so all of that is obviously choking a little bit of the throughput of traditional retail. And some people just don't want to hang out with their people right now because they want to wait for a vaccine or whatever. So they're going to still shop online. And so knowing that, I believe that this year, this BFCM, like every year, is continuing to grow. I mean, Shopify is really ramping up, knowing that that's going to be the case. Hopefully there's not a resurgence. If there is, then so be it. So Shopify will have the platform to be able to manage these small and mid-sized brands, even the enterprise ones. We're there to help them. But let's talk about what sort of things do you believe Shopify brands should be doing now? I mean, we obviously talk a little bit about building your brand and building a customer base and building an audience, but do you have any other concepts and topics people listening say, what should they be working on? Just thinking about now that we're in the midst of Q3, you know, and we're soon to roll into Q4, which is traditionally the largest and most impactful time of the year.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more on what's going to happen as it relates to Black Friday, Cyber Monday from a consumer spending pattern. It's going to be huge for e-commerce. And in fact, we're predicting that this is the first year that e-commerce domestic sales in the U.S. top $1 trillion. Pretty confident in that. I'd bet pretty hard on that. So you heard it here first. We think we're going to see that.
All right.
But, you know, a couple of things. You said earlier this notion of owning the customer, which I could not agree with more. We tout this philosophy called owned marketing, which is the opportunity to communicate with your customers directly and not having to pay for access to them through, you know, ads or whatever else. And if ever there was a time to overinvest in creating relationships so that you own them and can communicate as you please, now is the time. Because we see an absence of larger retailers reaching out to advertising, communicating with consumers, consumer mindshare is more available. And if you can get in front of them and you can, I mean, literally the advice that I was telling people is you should not be spending on ads and comparing it to how much sales you get. You should just try to break even with those and get as many customer contacts as you possibly can. Because as you nurture and build those relationships, you're set up in a situation coming into the holiday season where you do not need to spend on advertising to get in front of those people, and you can make them aware of all the things you're offering and all the sales and all the specials and all new product so that you can get them to come buy from you. I expect, by the way, just to touch a little bit on what's going to happen in the holiday season, there's this fascinating unspoken truth about brick and mortar retail that's happening right now. Brick and mortar retailers need 6 to 9 months to anticipate how much inventory they need to buy in order to get it in stores in time. So if you look at the holiday season, which is December, November, if you back up 6 to 9 months, that's literally March to now. Right. And so what executives at these stores have had to do is to anticipate how much demand will there be in store in 6 to 9 months when they can't even understand what's going to happen next week. The other problem that's going on is typically when stores can't sell through their inventory from consumers, they sell it to off-price retailers like TJ Maxx and the like. But those brands weren't buying inventory. So what you have is a whole bunch of brick and mortar businesses that have a surplus of, and I mean larger, you know, larger retailers that have a surplus of inventory that they can't sell through, which restricts their cash flow. They're taking out debt, which they don't want to do, and they have to service their rent in order to buy enough inventory for the holiday season. And because their sales were so off in Q2, they're going to have to double down on Q4. So what's going to happen? They're going to advertise big sales early. And I think they're going to run out of inventory early. So I'm expecting us to start to hear legitimate sales for the holiday season in, honest to God, September. And we're going to run out of inventory in stores in October. And there's going to be a massive panic on, you know, where can I get the things I need? And what are consumers going to do? They're going to turn online. But the problem is ads will be expensive then. So the move is you need to right now focus on building a customer base that you quote unquote own, that you can communicate with through email, through SMS, through your own website, through mail, like whatever you want, so that you can not rely on competing for that mindshare later and overspend on advertising, but actually set yourself up to take advantage of all the demand that's going to exist because brick and mortar brands can't serve it.
Yeah, I love that. I love building your email list. I love the idea of getting SMS opt-ins. I think that's a very smart tactic right now. It's almost like you're okay to have return on ad spend of one.
Correct.
Because then you own that customer and then you have the opportunity. It almost reminds me of like Facebook Messenger, for example. They have some pretty affordable ads and things that you can get right now. And I think it's called the click to messenger ad product, but it's so interesting right now where people very affordably can create a messenger opt-in one time very affordably. Then you have the authorization now to be able to communicate with that customer moving forward. So that's one tactic I've been talking. Even push notifications, another great tactic. Even if you're not going to do any browser push notifications to people, to your potential prospects or customers, at least if you're building the push opt-in now, you have an opportunity to send a campaign through push or through Facebook Messenger or through text and email as Klaviyo fits into that mix. So I think that's very brilliant tactics right now for people to execute on.
Yeah. And one thing that people may not know, and I'm probably not supposed to share this secret, but I'll share it because, you know, we really believe in helping brands grow. You can actually use Klaviyo's signup form product without touching code. There's an automatic installation with Shopify. It's the best integration in the market. Uh-huh. And you can, for free, use our signup forms product to grow that audience. If you're using something else for email, something else for SMS, obviously you can do all those things on Klaviyo, but we don't want to disrupt everything unnecessarily. Right. But if you want to take advantage of using the data that lives inside Shopify to target effectively to convert people on your site, you can do it with Klaviyo. We have customers that are converting upwards of 7, 8, 9, 10% of their web traffic into email addresses by using our signup form product. So if they do that, the other thing they'll be able to do is you can create a segment of customers, recent customers, and you can connect it to Facebook and do a lookalike audience for that group so that you can more effectively target on Facebook, maintaining that ROAS of one by increasing your spend and just drive people to your site, hit that signup form, grow your list, and off you go.
I love it. I love the idea of finding, you know, your highest value customers and then creating a seed audience is what you're talking about. I think that's a really smart tactic. So let's take a slight pivot and we're going to talk about the people that are listening into the show today. I mean, thousands download this episode and there are a very diverse range of entrepreneurs and, you know, some founders of other solutions. But if you were to give some advice today to, let's say, entrepreneurs, they're on Shopify, they're in the early stage, what sort of tactics or strategies would you feel is most impactful today for them?
It's all about growing a list and honoring that relationship. I like to explain that when you have a contact, you need to continually earn the right to continue to communicate with that contact. You can't just, as a result, hammer whatever you want to say to them as often as you want, because then they'll say, forget you, I'm out. So I would say the magic is make sure that you give people the opportunity to connect with you and make sure you think about how do I continue to earn the right to send the next message. Right. What will happen when you think that way is you will have a ton of ideas and you'll have a ton of nuances of things you want to execute. For example, I want to send a campaign about a specific product I want to sell through and I'm at the end, but I don't want to send that to everyone because some people have bought it. I want to send it to people who haven't yet bought it and people have been to my website recently so I can make sure that it's relevant to them without overdoing it. And what you'll find when you go through these lists of ideas is you are actually quite smart and really able to think through what are the right things I want to test? Because everything's testing because every business is different. Every relationship with every consumer is different. And so what I would encourage brands to do is to make sure you pick a marketing platform, just like you chose an e-commerce platform that's flexible and allows you to get from idea to in market very quickly. Choose a marketing platform that gives you stuff to start with, but really gives you the opportunity to test and to go fast. Because the faster you learn, the faster you grow. And things change as you grow. And so you just constantly need to go from idea to in market and then see how it went every day as quickly as possible. And make sure you choose a platform that will support your acquisition efforts, your email efforts, your SMS efforts, and allow you to be specific and targeted and move quickly along the way.
Love it. So what about those that are listening today that would be more, I guess, considered in the mid-market, maybe even enterprise brands are likely on Shopify Plus. They'll have a small team. They're very eager to grow and scale. What's the best advice that you can share today? I guess almost assist either the executive team or probably the marketing team.
When you basically get into Shopify Plus territory, that's a special time because all of the conventional playbooks that have worked getting from a brand from zero to, you know, X single digit millions of GMV, they no longer apply. You need to learn what's right for your brand, what expectation your customers have set from you. And so you need to sort of find your way through the dark to find the things that work. And so we eventually started working with a large customer that was using four or five different platforms, which they consolidated onto Klaviyo. And the benefit for them was it allowed them to take their disparate teams who had ideas and to get them in market. Literally, they'd have an idea in the shower and they'd go in market that afternoon. And they'd be able to see the results that night, report to their executive team, say this worked or it didn't, run a test and go. And so if you have a large team, you want to make sure that the only limiting factor to your speed to learning is your team, your internal communication. You don't want it to be a platform. You don't want it to be reliability from whatever tools you're using. You don't want to be because you have a white gloved manager doing everything for you. Like, you need to be able to have an idea and get it done. And so I would recommend that they make sure they're using a platform similar to Shopify Plus. And in fact, you know, over half of Shopify Plus customers are using Klaviyo right now for this exact reason, because you can take the rich data that lives in Shopify Plus, you can trust the integration, you can have an idea, you can put it in market and literally see the results in sales that afternoon. And you can iterate day over day to make sure that you're growing and improving and testing and growing and improving. And so I strongly recommend, if you're not already using a agile platform like Klaviyo, you check it out, because it's just going to help you go faster and respond to this very dynamic environment that we're in.
So let's talk about the future of Klaviyo. Are you able to share any North Star, any highlights for the remainder of the 2020 roadmap? Is there any partner alignment or any kind of innovation? I'm just curious as to how you believe the platform is going to iterate over time to help these brands.
Yeah. There's so much coming, actually. It's kind of insane. Yeah, as I mentioned, our North Star is to help businesses grow. And so we're just constantly looking for more ways that we can help those businesses grow. We recently just released a new feature, which I'm very excited about, where it allows for A/B testing and signup forms. And what's special about this isn't just that you can have two different variations in your signup form and see which one does better. Most providers currently say, you know, pick your time window, pick your amount of traffic, we'll put two up and tell you which one does better. We took it to a whole new level. Our data science team worked on this, and behind the scenes, we have a whole system that powers literally minute by minute statistical significance checkers. And based on how one version is performing over another, we'll actually route traffic to the winning variation to ensure that you're maximizing your efforts while the test is running. And we'll actually proactively tell you when you've reached statistical significance so that you don't have to potentially wait too long because you've set a time window that's too long, or even worse, pick a wrong winner because not enough time has passed to allow the winner to fully win. And so it's both exceptionally exciting if you want to maximize your conversion rate on your website into your growing your list, but also a nice sort of indicator of where we're going as a platform, using these sophisticated services, we call them, under the hood to help make brands and marketers smarter so they can focus on, you know, strategy and what they think are going to be the things to move, and then let the platform do the blocking and tackling to test and tell them, you know, which performed best. So I'm excited about that. Other things that are coming that I can tell you about. So SMS is obviously huge for us. We recently added the ability for people to insert dynamic coupons that get populated from Shopify into an SMS. And we'll be adding more and more and more to that whole experience. Already, we're seeing brands make an insane amount of money using SMS and coordinating it with email in one screen, which is really helpful. We have a big announcement coming ahead of the holiday season, which is custom analytics, where what we're going to do is give people the ability to explore their data, no incremental cost, and understand their customers even more. So for example, if you wanted to understand the average amount of times people open an email and visit a site before they purchase, you'd be able to do that in Klaviyo very simply. If you wanted to see for anyone who bought this specific product, how many subsequent purchases did they make, or how much money have they spent, or what's their predicted customer lifetime value, which is a statistic that we calculate for you, you'd be able to understand that within a specific segment across your whole customer base, split up by how much they've spent. Literally all of these things will be available within a click, which is very exciting for us. The other exciting thing that I think people will be excited about are increased flexibility and performance from our flows. So we're going to have ways for people to get basic email notifications when things happen as a result of a flow. And we're looking into, imagine changes in your catalog triggering flows. I'll leave it at that. We're working on some increased functionality there that I think people will be really excited about.
Quite a few brands that I manage that are on Shopify Plus, and one of the value props of being on Plus is a solution called Shopify Flow. And Flow is Shopify's take on automation. So it really helps streamline a lot of repetitive tasks. And also, it's interesting because some great partners like Klaviyo, for example, have created a Flow connector. And what a Flow connector typically is, and with the way Flow works is there's a trigger and then some kind of condition. And then there's an action. And so when you have a direct connection to Flow through a connector, it can then do something in the other tools. You don't have to disrupt your current tech stacks. If you're on Shopify Plus, you have Flow activated. Klaviyo is a platform that you're using. They do sync together and they work together. Are you able just to give a little high-level overview of a couple of flows or the reasons why you created this connector?
Anything that saves a merchant time is awesome. And so we love that you guys introduced that product to help people streamline and automate some of the tasks that they were working on before. And of course, we want to make sure that all the data that's within Shopify is made available to people to work on their marketing in Klaviyo. And so we did create this connector, which is awesome. And it gives people the ability to take some of the outcomes of their automations and their flows from Shopify Flow and update Klaviyo accordingly. So we've seen people, for example, tag high-value customers or flag potential high-risk orders and have those moments get passed into Klaviyo and then trigger a subsequent outreach that's very specific to a very specific subset of customers with Klaviyo. And so it's basically yet another way that merchants can find a specific case, you know, use case or customer experience that they want to customize and make just a specific way and have it automated all the way through. So once it's set up, they don't have to think about it again.
So, Jake, we are nearing the end of the show for today, but do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
I just want people to know that if ever there was this crazy silver platter that would accelerate the growth of the e-commerce space, it is right now. And for the brands that are already using Shopify and Klaviyo, you guys are tremendously thoughtful and intelligent. You made a great choice to work with two different platforms that work, frankly, better together than any other two in the market, that are flexible, focused on your growth, and here to help you. And if you're not already, as I mentioned, more than half of Shopify Plus customers are with Klaviyo, and a whole big chunk of Shopify customers are there. We encourage you to check it out. It is free to try. And as I mentioned earlier, if you don't always send emails, there are some other services you can use for free for a long time. We want you to grow, and we'd love the opportunity to help you guys get there.
Yeah, I was going to mention that for those listening today that maybe want to take the platform for a spin, maybe if you're on a competing platform, then let's really get into a true marketing automation platform. Where can people go to, I guess, sign up for these free trials? I know we did speak offline a little bit. Can you give some details about how people can get started?
Yep. So there should be a link in the show notes, which you can click on. If you don't, you can literally go to klaviyo.com and there's a button right there that says get started for free. You can create an account in literally minutes. The integration with Shopify requires no code and works very quickly and you're good to go.
Perfect. Yeah, it'll be ecommercefastlane.com/Klaviyo. It's Klaviyo. And that will redirect you to that listener only promotion. But yeah, I mean, you get up to 250 contacts, I believe, and you get forms and email and analytics and segmentation, like all these things, custom audiences, Facebook. I mean, even the SMS component now, apparently you're going to give us some free messages to actually test out the solution with your own customers. I think it's very timely. I know Klaviyo is a fantastic partner for Shopify, and I want to wish you continued success. It's very clear to me, I mean, as you know, Shopify really has a mission to make commerce better for everyone. And for me, listening to this conversation today, it's clear that you and Klaviyo and the whole team are really in tight alignment with really wanting to help Shopify brands grow and scale. I just want to thank you for coming on the show today and sharing.
We are more than happy to serve, and we appreciate you guys being such great partners and being someone that we can work with to help all these brands grow. So thank you.
All right. Have yourself a great day.
You too.
This episode was brought to you by the team at Rewind. If you're a Shopify partner, join leading agencies like The Tap Room, Milk Bottle Labs, BVA, and more in the Rewind Agency Partner Program. You can earn up to $1,000 for recommending Rewind to your clients. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're a merchant, feel confident and enjoy peace of mind that your store is always safe with automatic backups by Rewind. Learn more by looking up Rewind in the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.io. And make sure you mention E-commerce Fastlane Podcast and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.